Welcome to Beneath Your Beautiful, where guests share stories of adversity and perseverance, which inspire, encourage, and challenge us. We embrace these tough conversations, intimately exploring our loves, fears, and hopes with a delicious combination of depth and lightness.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Tori Ellis. I am a transformational life and business coach. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. How did you get started in that field?
It was definitely a long time coming. I am in a background of education, definitely, especially with the youth. And I always felt the need of wanting to help and be of service to others. So I started my studies in school with psychology from the very beginning. And as I continued to go throughout my master's and my doctorate, the focus definitely was on business psychology and definitely on the human experience of it. So organizational leadership and occupational health, making sure that everybody in their field is overall healthy and, you know, the wellness aspect is focused on. And as I, you know, have been an educator in those fields, and I've gone through my own fair share of health situations, it has always been something in me more that pushed me and was like, you know, you have a story that maybe someone out there probably just needs to hear to know that they're not alone. And then even with just that, being able to then help someone on their personal development, helping someone, you know, probably start their business or just giving them that extra push that they need that, you know, this is something that you're capable of doing, no matter, you know, what part of life that you're in. So I transitioned into being a life and business coach, and like to all of my expertise and, you know, all of my years of those ups and downs, because entrepreneurship is not easy. And I've just been applying it and helping my clients in that aspect. And it has been so fulfilling, I can say.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I've been self-employed as a graphic designer for 33 years. And it is a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Every year. It's not like, you know, oh, those are some good years. It's just every single year, depending on the month.
Literally. And it's like you said, a roller coaster. You have your ups and downs. It's not one straight way. It's not a specific incline. It's literally every month. It's like, okay, what's the high peak this month, you know? I totally get it.
Right. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm rich. Oh, sometimes, oh no, I need help.
You've been doing it for 33 years. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. And you know what I have ultimately figured out is that it always works out. Knowing that it'll always work out so that you're not in stress mode is also helpful.
Right. It's definitely, you walk by faith, not by sight. Kind of order or entrepreneurship. You know, if you're not doing it, the business is not going, you know? So you are always putting your best foot forward. And when you can trust that you're going to put your best foot forward, you're going to give it your all, you just know like, okay, this is going to work out. I'm going to have what I need when I'm going to need it. I just got to, you know, stay steadfast and keep my head and my mind on the prize. And yeah,
right.
It'll definitely work out. Mm-hmm.
What health issues did you go through?
I struggled with a lot of womb issues. So the womanly issue. From a young age, I want to say around 19, they had counted me out from having kids. And I was having a lot of womb issues. They did not find out exactly what was going on with me, probably up until 2022 is when they finally had got a diagnosis.
How old are you now?
30.
Okay, so just wondering how old you were when they finally diagnosed you correctly.
28. And I was like, after I had my daughter, and they were shocked that she was here too. She's a miracle. But yeah, after having her, they finally was able to diagnose it. And I mean, that's just showing like, you know, we're getting more advanced with technology. We're getting more advanced in the medical field. But even still, too, there's some things that is just not known. And right. Having that unknown moment, you know, it can definitely affect people during that transition. Like those years of not knowing what was going on, those years of like, it could possibly be this and not showing that, or you know, a doctor's not being able to see it. So if they're not able to see it, they're like, oh, this is not happening. It's not going on. And they're counting out what you're feeling or how you're going through it. It can really affect someone's mental state.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've been through it, especially as a young woman.
They're very removed from it. And I mean, you have to be. The field is not easy, especially when you see a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. And it's something that can definitely affect a person who's very empathic as well, you know, so you have to have that detach, but that detach for, you know, those patients who are, you know, unsure and they're turning to you for that solace, trying to figure out what's going on, and you're just so detached, it's kind of off-putting.
Yeah. You know, I photograph people at the end of life, or like maybe I photographed mothers with stillborn babies. And the first time it took me down, man, I could barely function afterwards. But I finally understand what the detachment is. Not that I'm detached, but that I can go home and like still be okay. You know, I'm witnessing this for them. And that was a lesson in terms of to have more sympathy towards doctors who see that kind of thing every day.
It's not easy, man. It's not. Even trying to find that detachment, sometimes it still takes.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes time. And it's not something that is definitely learned overnight.
No, and I'm very empathetic. I totally feel everybody's feelings. It's terrible. But I have learned to witness and be there for somebody rather than take it on. And to hold space for that person is what I'm trying to do. I just try to be a safe place.
That's all we can do sometimes, just be that safe space. Definitely. I was in the education field. I've been very heavily in the education field for years. And, you know, you come across a lot of youth, especially underserved youth, and they do not have the resources that they need to succeed. But then too, a lot of schools don't have the resources to provide them either. So they can easily fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. And that's when you have that pipeline of they're either going to drop out or they're going to jail, or, you know, it's a tough space to be in, especially when the youth have such great promise, you know? So I think that also just prompted me to, you know, be more of an advocate there, but then also create programming that can provide you with those resources, whether it's mentorship, whether it's, you know, showing them different careers that they can get involved in that doesn't involve what they see on an everyday basis. Some things that they may think is far beyond their reach, just giving them those tools and giving them those resources, giving them those outlets where they can definitely be like, hey, I can see myself doing this. And I can see myself probably owning a business, running a business. I can see myself, you know, being a veterinarian. I can see myself being a gardener or a botanist, or having that financial literacy background too, where they're able to know how to manage their money and grow their money. And that way they're not living paycheck to paycheck, because that could be a struggle in itself. Sometimes these kids are coming from first generation homes, or, you know, they're English learners as well. And they don't have that resource of, okay, this is what you're going to need in order for every day. A lot of kids, and I was one of those kids, like, how is this going to help me in the future? Like, why am I taking this course? How does this relate to everyday life? And it's not until you get older where you're like, oh, now I see it. But by that time, so much information has changed. So much information has come out. And it's like, you know, I should have held on to that a little bit longer, or probably paid attention to that. But just giving them just those bits and pieces that they can use now. Yeah. So that way they actually are seeing it live in person from a young age, and not when they're just getting to their 20s, 30s. They can start seeing it from now. And
that's
now
awesome.
It's like they're applying it. So yeah, I'm big on that. And that has been like one of my babies for sure. For my little one, it definitely was the youth and helping the youth and giving back to the youth.
Who's a normal client for you?
My normal clients now, I have a hashtag, the mom behind the business. And that has become really dear to my heart. So it's really those moms who are transitioning, probably going from their 9-to-5 into their passion projects, or those stay-at-home moms who want to, you know, build a business, or maybe those moms who are empty nesters. Now their babies are gone, so they want to take on a new baby. You know, they had these dreams and they have probably put these dreams aside to raise their kids. And now they're focused on, you know, doing what they want to do for themselves and what's going to uplift them. But just even those regular moms who are just like, hey, I love something I want to do. I want to get it out there. So I focus on the mom behind the business, and understanding too that, yes, we are business women too. We have three jobs. The statistic says being a mom is like 2.5 jobs. And then tackling on, you know, your own career is a job in itself too. So being able to have that balance. And a lot of times we don't talk about the struggle of that balance.
Right.
Mom guilt is a thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Feeling like, you know, maybe you're not doing enough. Maybe you're not enough. Feeling as if like there's not enough time in the day to do everything that you want to do, because make sure the kids are good, make sure the family's good. Then you have probably an hour you set aside for yourself. And that hour is not a consistent hour. You're doing it in increments.
Right.
So it does not feel enough. And you are literally carrying a lot on your back, but you are making it work. And you still have these dreams and aspirations and still trying to find who you are outside of just being mom.
Yeah.
So I focus on the mom behind the business and, you know, being that support, helping them bring their clarity to their vision, but then also, you know, making sure that they're having that balance with themselves, their self-care, their wellness, because you can't be good for anybody if you're not good for yourself first.
Oh, right. My kids are 28 and 24, and I was a single mom with them when they were 2 and 6.
Oh, okay. I'm a single mom now. So yes, I have a 2-year-old. So it is not easy.
It's hard. And yeah. My grown children wish I had done it differently. Of course, I wish I had done it differently. But sometimes, like you're saying, just getting through the day.
Mm-hmm.
I wish as a younger woman, I would have even thought to have a coach to help me. Mm-hmm. But what a great thing that you're a resource for people. I love that.
You know, you try to be, especially because I'm in this position now. Like, I hear so many moms like yourself who, you know, their older kids would be like, I wish you did it differently. I mean, growing up too with my mom worked. I'm talking about she loves what she does, you know, and you can't fault her for it. You know, they love what they do and they're providing for you and they're supporting you. And even when they are at the peak of their exhaustion, they're still making themselves available. And sometimes they can't, they have to shut down. And
right.
When they shut down, with not understanding the need for that shutdown, that's when you just feel upset, you know? And it wasn't until I got older and I started to unpack my own stuff, what I was going through, and then having my own daughter and seeing, like, I get it. Like, you know, where you can have that empathy and compassion with them now, where it's like, I'm so sorry if I was hard on you.
I was so upset with my mother for so long. She passed away when I was 18, so I never got the closure I needed on things that I wished she had done differently. Mm-hmm. And I was just visiting with my 24-year-old, and she was telling me quite factually things that I had done wrong when she was a little girl. And I didn't disagree with her, but it made me so sad. But I thought, I hope this kid has a kid, because the more I parented, the more I forgave my mother. And now... Yeah. I don't even need to forgive my mother, because she had 6 kids and was a single mom.
Wow.
And so I had 2 and I could barely do it. I think you need kids to really help you understand how freaking hard it is.
Brings in another perspective for sure. But there is a part, like, I started to understand my mom and understand just stuff that was going on with her just through my own, me understanding myself more.
Yeah, yeah.
So understanding why I was so upset, why was I so, you know, frustrated with things, and why I was always, you know, even down to the people pleasing, why was I always a people pleaser? And it's because I wanted to see other people happy. I always wanted to feel like I was making my parents happy. And when my mom was not happy with something, I didn't feel like I was doing enough. But it was me trying to get her attention, you know, me.
Yeah.
Because she's so busy and she's working, she's tired. I'm trying to get your attention and you're not seeing it. You're not seeing me. And then I'm like, that's a problem that I had to deal with. Like, I didn't need the external validation. It would have been nice. But then,
right.
Being like, you know, you are working a lot. Like, as she gets older, you know, it's like, you need to slow down. You're working so much. Like, take time for yourself. And yeah, I mean, the having the kid part, it was the cherry on top of everything.
I see. Yeah.
For sure. It's the unpacking. You got to unpack. And I mean, we're in that generation now where everyone's unpacking something, you know, we're unpacking, but we wish we could have said or didn't say. So having a kid, it was just like that extra cherry. Cause once I had my daughter and then I'm a single mom, like, I'm not with my child's father, we co-parent, but even that too is difficult, you know, and, you know, being a sole provider all the time and stuff like that for her. Thank God I do have the tribe that I have and the family that I have that is the support system, but still,
yeah,
you're doing it and it could be lonely at times. And when you're doing it and it's like, I'm getting it done. And then you feel like I have to pull myself from quality time here to get this business thing finished so that way I can provide. And then
right.
You feel so bad, like, oh my gosh, because you have that 2-year-old like, mommy, mommy. come play, or mommy, where are you going? Or, and it's just like, oh my goodness. Like, I feel so bad, like so bad. And I would just look at my mom like, I get it. If I apologized before, I apologize 10 times more now. Like, I get it.
When my oldest daughter was 15, we did not get along at all. And she always calls just to occasionally apologize. She's just like, oh, I was such an asshole. Sorry.
Yeah, me and my mom, we didn't get along at all when I was 15, 16. And that was high school. You know, you're going through those changes, hormonal changes. Ugh.
Oh, well, that's what I was going to say. You know, you have this beautiful baby, this 2-year-old, and then they turn 15 and they're mean to you. You're like, hey, I didn't sign up for that.
Yeah, I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared.
You can't prepare anyway because they're so sweet right now.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that I can sit here and be like, hey, if you have a problem with me, just let me know ahead of time instead of just being upset and not telling me, because I know that's what I did. I didn't tell my mom why I was upset. I didn't feel like I could tell her why I was upset. So that delayed the process. And it wasn't until I started going through my health issues with my womb and stuff, and I'm away at school, that I'm talking to my mom now and having candid conversations, because she's a woman. She's going to be the one to know and understand. Right. And I'm just like, all right, this is what's going on with me, and this is how I'm feeling. And I feel like you never realize how much they take on, because even in those moments, they still want to protect you, but then they're still letting you go through what you got to go through. And then now they're hearing all these things and they're just still like real stoic with it. Like, okay, I'm taking it in, and you're handing them a lot. And it's like, I'm done. Okay.
Yeah, I feel really proud of myself for listening to my daughter over Christmas telling me a few things that I did that were monumental in her life that she didn't like, of course. And I wish I had done different also, but I did hear her. And I am sorry that that was true. It is true. I'm glad that she felt safe enough to tell me. That really affected me. I mean, nothing I could do now, but also love her and understand that I did have an effect.
And I mean, now too, it's opened up the doors for you guys to do more healing and actually get closer, because that's what happened to me. Like,
right.
We were able to talk. It's funny because she'll come to me and she'll be like, all right, so what did I do wrong? She'll ask her, what did I do wrong? And I'm like, you know, before, you know, never being so open to tell her. But then now she's like, what did I do wrong? Just to hear what, you know, how am I feeling, or what's going on in my head, or how we can help change this. That way we're not repeating this for grandkids. That's healing in itself. So me and mom have such a better relationship now, and I'm grateful for that.
I really love that women your age now are doing the work much younger, that you can even hear your own feelings and acknowledge them and then relay them, I think is great.
Thank you.
When my 28-year-old calls and she's all emotional about something, I'm like, I'm so proud of you for feeling your emotions. That's so great. Instead of stuffing them down and pretending it doesn't feel a certain way, you're experiencing them then and you're discussing them. And look, it's all better after that.
Yeah. And it definitely does help. And you grow a bit, because then it's like, I'm able to get this off, but then I'm almost able to see a solution, and it helps. So,
yeah.
I mean, you guys are a pivotal part of that too. We are able to express ourselves now, but you guys have opened the door for us to listen. So thank you. If you didn't hear more thank yous from your daughter, thank you.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you. Thank you. So what do you have a degree in?
My PsychD is in human and organizational psychology.
Oh, okay. What does that mean?
Well, I focus on the human, the mind, right? Psychology is the mind. I have a business psychology degree, and I wanted to be able to apply it in all facets. I didn't want to just be stuck in one niche. I wanted to be able to help multiple if I had the chance and opportunity to. So with human organizational psychology, I'm able to focus on the individual as a whole, the human, and the leadership aspect of that, but then also the organizational part of it. So you have leaders in every organization, and you want to make sure that your leadership is strong, because ideally your leadership team is the one who is going to uplift this organization and essentially carry this organization. But you want to make sure that your organization is cohesive and healthy too. So there's different leaders in different tiers. It's the empowering those people to see that. So with human and organizational psychology, it's the looking at the organization as a whole, but looking into the intricacies of team dynamics and, you know, team support, but then also the wellness aspect of it and the leaders that are in there as well.
Oh, cool. that's going to make you a much better parent also.
It has helped.
Yeah, I bet.
I feel like it has helped me overall. Like, it has helped me with being a better parent. It has helped me be a better sibling. It has helped me be a better daughter. Like, because I'm just able to understand. Like, I think it has allowed me to open up my mind to look at all points of view. Like, mm-hmm. it's not just my view.
Right.
You know, you can just look at it from this small little thing. I'm able to sit down and at least put myself in everybody's shoe at one point to see, like, I can understand and see how you can definitely feel like this in this moment and how this could affect, you know, your thought process and what made you pivot or shift. And it definitely has helped in all aspects of my life, for sure.
And it's so good to be able to hear somebody and not defend as well, like to say, oh, I see it from your perspective, even though I disagree. That's like really key. Do you have any like mindfulness practices that you do, or?
A ton of them.
What do you do?
Well, for me, I do a lot of breath work. Mm-hmm. I love sound bath healing. So I'm definitely in the process of getting my certification to do sound bath healing as well.
Oh, cool.
I'm big with the tone. So binaural beats, listening to binaural beats and the tones of that too, because I feel like that definitely helps with your meditation. It helps with your body relaxation and stuff. So I like to go out into nature and earth, you know, soak up some vitamin D and, you know, sunbathe and the whole bit. So I do a different number of things for, you know, my mindfulness practices and definitely just getting myself active, even if it's not going and working out 3 times a week, but stretching,
mm-hmm.
drinking a lot of water, you know, yeah. taking my breaths, my mom moments, even if it's 5 minutes of, I just need quiet time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, because it can definitely reset. It resets you totally. And sometimes you need a quick reset just to continue the day, just to finish it out.
Right. Reset. I agree.
Every loss is a lesson. Every rejection is a blessing. And every obstacle is an opportunity. And it's an opportunity for you to grow. It's a blessing because maybe you were not meant to be confined in this one space, but opened up to so many greater things. And it is a lesson for you to learn and better yourself and know that you are always growing and learning and healing. So to just love on you and continue to love on you so you can love on everybody else.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Beneath Your Beautiful, hosted by Hara Allison. And thank you for your ratings and reviews. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Stay tuned.